Welcome back to another episode of Laser Graves. I'm your co-host, E.K. Wimmer.
Hi, E.K. Wimmer. I'm Mariah Rose Wimmer. I'm also a co-host of this podcast.
Yeah. And this week we are getting spooky scary with a Halloween-themed episode. We've probably, if we were smart, would have done cooler films throughout the whole month of October, but it wasn't until maybe last week that we're like, oh, you know what we should do? Something that relates to Halloween.
What did we do last week? Legend. That's 100% Halloween movie.
Yeah, there's definitely some people I saw walking around today in costumes that look like they were out of Legend.
There were a lot of people squatting today.
There were a lot of people squatting. So
Halloween squats.
Yeah. This week we're bringing you a spooky episode.
Okay.
If you are
calm down
in eighth grade.
Or in utero.
And we do have plans to unload the big guns for next week, but we'll see how that goes.
Unload the big guns?
Oh, yeah. For the ultimate Halloween episode.
Wow.
Been waiting a year for it.
Oh, you're really selling it. Okay.
I should be really selling it.
It's cool, yes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Well, before we scare your socks off with this riveting episode and have a howling good time.
Oh.
You have any thrift store finds?
I do.
Oh, good.
I went in earlier this week, and this dude who works at a thrift store, he's like a new hire, and he goes, oh, gee, you're here all the time. And I was disgusted and also embarrassed because he said it really loud. And I said, well, that's how thrifting works. And I was like, okay, bye. And I just went and kind of left because I was shamed out. I felt shamed.
Really? I would have just been like, and your point is?
It was a strange situation because a bunch of people peered up. Like, I don't know, like if you were watching a nature documentary and like a coyote howled or something, and then like all these little animals peeped their heads up out from the foliage and stuff. It was sort of like that. He was like, well, you're here all the time. And people were like peeking around racks to see who this person was that was here all the time. And it had been several days since I had last stopped in for 5 minutes. And I was like, ugh.
Oh, so for him, you were the thrift store find.
So I left. And then today I slunk back in, hoping that it wasn't his
shift. Did you do a lookout first?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And I saw this super rad mosaic coffee table, which we didn't need, but I was going to get it anyway until I went.
Oh, I think I've seen it there, too. It's been there for
so
a few days.
It's so cool. It's like 200 pounds, though.
Yeah, and it's in horrible shape.
Shh, 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 shh. But it was gorgeous. Anyway, I did not buy that. You're welcome. Instead, I just started wandering around, scanning the perimeter for the guy that shames me. And then I spotted two bar stools, brand new. And we happened to have purchased bar stools well over a year ago, but they were like placeholders when we first moved into our house because they're super lame. And I've been looking online for new ones, and they were all just like more than I wanted to spend for what I had in mind. And then there they were. It was like a spotlight on them. Like they were magical. And I scooped them up, one under each armpit, and just hustled out of there with them. I paid, though. I didn't just run out of the store.
So bar stools is what you found this week.
Ugh. Let me tell my tale.
The tale of the two
bar stools.
For those tuning in a little late, that's what that was.
Who would tune in late?
The people just coming like to sit down. The way I imagine our podcast to go, like it's like listening parties. Like, guys, it's this week's episode. Everybody sits in a room and then they hit play and everybody sits around and laughs together as a group collectively enjoying our episodes.
Do you understand that podcasts are people sitting in their cars or at home working? That's me. I work.
No, podcasts. No, not our podcast. Our podcast is a...
We're uniting the world?
Yeah, it's an event where everybody sits around and experiences it together.
That's a delusion of grandeur.
It sure is.
That you've got.
Yep.
Okay. How about you? What did you find at thrift stores? I found two bar stools.
My find this week was bueno.
I found
a record. And not just any record.
What record?
It was Especial Heavy.
Oh, okay.
It was Spanish language heavy metal compilation album that is so awesome. And I just was like, what? It's got really cool photos, like four bands with a couple songs each.
It's a little sampler.
Yeah, it's a sampler.
What year did it come out?
Mid-80s.
Okay.
But some of the songs on there are pretty awesome. Would you like to know one of the titles?
Yes.
Estupido Accusador.
Accuser?
Well, I mean, that's what, like, if you don't know Spanish, you'd probably think that. But it actually means Knight of the Round Table.
Oh, baloney.
Well, based on how they were dressed on that back cover, that's what I was So, it was an especial find this week.
All right.
And I immediately got home and blasted it.
You did? I remember.
Side A, side B.
Oh, you're going to be so proud. Our youngest daughter, while we were driving today, said, can you put on Ozzy's Boneyard on Sirius?
Oh, yes. Raising them right, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway. Are you ready to transform into this episode?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh.
So, little backstory. I found this tape thrifting one day. It had a really awesome cover of two preteens, one as a werewolf and the other looking like a Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego kind of spy.
She looks like Angela Lansbury about to solve a murder.
Yes. Like if Angela Lansbury suddenly aged backwards,
but kept
the same clothes. Yeah. That's what she looks like. So it's called The Adventures of a 2-Minute Werewolf.
Yes, but it's just says 2-Minute Werewolf across the top, and then The Adventures of are really small.
Maybe. I mean, it clearly says it on the front.
Nah.
But maybe that's what you read.
2-Minute Werewolf.
Okay. Well, anyway, so it's called Adventures of a 2-Minute Werewolf. And we're going to sum it up in 2 minutes. Came out in 1985. It looked very promising. Mm-hmm. I am a huge fan of children's movies that involve spooky topics. I think it's always fun.
I loved those when I was a kid, but it was like the Are You Afraid of the Dark era, too.
Right. So this one, we actually sat down with our daughters and watched it together, which is fun. This was originally an ABC weekend special.
Aired
2 weeks, which we found out in our tape because it splits halfway through.
Uh-huh.
And then says, does a returning, you know, last week's episode. The first episode aired on February 23rd, the second on March 2nd, 1985. So that's when we were gifted with.
What a weird time of year to do that.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was like, why would they not do it around Halloween? But whatever.
Okay.
Directed by Mark Cullingham. He didn't really do much of anything. And
what?
Then, well, he did a bunch of, like, TV stuff. And then it was based on a book by Jean DeWeese.
How is DeWeese spelled?
Well, do you want to know who his son is?
Yeah.
Pauly Shore.
What?
It's DeWeezil.
What? Oh.
I'm kidding.
I was so confused, Eric. That joke did not land with me.
Just tweaked your melon, buddy.
Weezing the jet.
So, no. Jean DeWeese is not Pauly Shore's dad. But he did write some Star Trek episode or books and stuff like that.
Oh, shut up.
All right, let's get into this, buddy. The movie opens up, and there are two children in a theater. One is a miniature Angela Lansbury, and the other is a boy. They're both preteens, and his name is Walt.
Tur.
And they're watching the Universal monster film, The Wolfman.
Yep.
And it's kind of cool to start off with that. I thought that was
kind of a long scene, honestly. I felt like they had about 45 minutes of material for 2 weeks worth of a show. And they're like, let's really give some airtime to the Wolfman.
I felt like they got the rights to this scene. So they're like, we're going to milk it.
The whole scene and make these children eat popcorn on camera for a very long time.
So they finish the movie, they walk outside, and we discover that it's Walt's 13th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's immediately interrupted with his cool friend hangout date with these bullies, which is just classic 80s after school special.
They're 100% 80s style bullies.
Yes. And they're teasing him about something. I didn't even really care. But
they're like, you're 2 weeks behind on your lunch money.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And he's like, what? And he's like, you're going to lose your protections if you don't pay up, man. Oh, but he has a really nasally voice. Like, they were filming when he happened to have a cold and they didn't care. Because he's like, so you're going to lose your protections, man. And it's extremely nasally, like he's got a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's okay, all.
Okay, good. I'm glad you pointed that out.
You're welcome, world.
So Walt and Cindy are walking home after they, you know...
They're confronted. Also, bits of information are given here. The main bully is named Stanley, and we learn that his uncle is the sheriff.
Oh, yeah. That is very important.
Key to this complex story.
Can I tell you that in this next scene, we are just minutes into this. They waste no time.
Nope.
And I instantly, and I'm not making an overstatement, fell in love with this movie because of this next scene. Because they're walking.
Yep.
And he's talking and complaining. And then Angela Lansbury, mini Angela, looks at him and is like just staring. And then out of nowhere, she just says, I think you're turning into a werewolf. And then it just flashes to Walt and he's a full werewolf and he's like,
he can't talk. He's got his 80s like puffy jacket on
and his like bowl cut, like pre-bowl cut. It is so funny. You know what though, the makeup is awesome. Okay. I really enjoyed it, but he just grunts and he's like shrugs a little and she handles it very, very much like Angela would.
She's very just like, okay, and she starts like quizzing him. So Cindy starts asking him a whole bunch of questions, but he can only grunt and growl in response. So she's like, do you feel any different? And he's like, what? And she's like, it's not a full moon. How could this happen? And he's like,
yeah. It's so funny.
And then they hear somebody coming on a like motorcycle. So obviously they dive into the bushes. She doesn't feel threatened at all by this werewolf.
There's a lot of diving into the bushes in this film, if you noticed.
I've never once dove into bushes.
Well, you've never once changed into a werewolf. So.
Nor have I been with somebody. So there you go.
Well, there you go. So 2 minutes later... Surprise, if you didn't put this one together. Spoiler alert. Two minutes later, he turns back into normal, and they're just like, what? He does this nonsense about how, like, that I didn't turn into a werewolf. And then she shows that she had, like, clutched a chunk of his fur.
I know.
And then it goes to the next morning.
Uh-huh.
He's in his room, which is totally cool 80s room, including this awesome, like, life-size cutout of Bela Lugosi as Dracula, like, leaning over his bed from behind. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah, and then he goes down for breakfast, but I guess he's up really early, and this confuses his parents.
And they're like, they do a lot of play on words, like, his mom puts down breakfast and he eats, and she's like, whoa, you really wolfed it down.
Yeah, and his father's, when he sees that he got up early, is like, what kind of transformation is this? And they only speak in, like, werewolf puns.
Yeah, and you're like, you're like an animal today.
Yeah, okay, well, that's what happens.
And we also learn that his mom is a writer, and it plays a minimal role in the story, but they talk about it a great deal.
Yes.
Oh, also she writes about alien shape changers, which is really not important, but they bring it up again several times.
I had a thought about that.
Was there supposed to be a storyline about how he's an alien shape changer?
No, I wondered because it's an ABC after school special or whatever. I wonder if there's another episode that ties in and there's an alien shapeshifter.
Oh, we got to pause it and look it up.
Okay.
I need to know.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, this is a rabbit hole I cannot go through. The first headline is Obama and alien lizard.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we'll just assume it is.
Okay, yep.
All right, well, so after breakfast, Cindy and Walt are researching in the library, and she starts quizzing him more. She's like really... the practical one that's going through all these books and asking him questions, but
like, have you made a pact with the devil?
Yeah, that was my favorite question. So that was the funny one that made me laugh out loud. And then he starts to change again. And Cindy tries to take a photo of him with a Polaroid camera. And you know what? I'm really charmed by this little girl actress. But
Cindy?
I don't understand how she could struggle so hard with a Polaroid camera. Did you see her fumbling around with it? She's like tilting it, but she's holding it, literally holding it sideways as she's trying to take a photo with it. Mm-hmm. And it was so distracting, the whole scene. I was like, somebody yell cut and show this little girl how to hold a camera.
Well, maybe it was new technology at the time.
Yeah, right.
It's like your grandma with a computer.
It's true. Well, she has no clue how to use it. But he changes.
He gets itchy, too. Like, yeah, right before he changes, he's like, I'm so itchy. And then the fur starts to grow in. So we learn that's a cue that he's making the transformation.
Yeah. And then he transforms again. And again, I think the makeup's cool. It's funny. And he's, like, grunting. But then he's kind of annoyed when he transforms back. And she's like, you know, this is a like a superpower or something like that. And he gets really mad. And one of the lines that he drops on her out of disgust is, 2 minutes? It's like I'm an egg. Didn't get that line.
No. And we also had a whole scene, too, where it was like the urgency of him turning back. They were trying to really count it down, the 2 minutes, because they instantly were certain that he would always only transform for 2 minutes, even though this is only the second time he's transformed. But the librarian is like, what are you doing? And there's this right. whole part of him like hiding under a coat, and the librarian's like, get out from under there. And Cindy keeps making excuses for him about him fixing the film. And it's this whole like thing, and the clock's like tick, 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 closer to 2 minutes. And just when the librarian's going to rip off the cloak or the coat, he turns back.
Yeah, it's ABC suspense for sure.
Oh, I was sweating, man.
Boy, were you.
Sweating buckets.
Yeah. Well, they go outside after that, and the bullies are apparently omnipresent. They're just always yeah. there taunting them. And to try and get away, they realize they're standing out right outside of Madame Zola's fortune teller shop. And so they jump in there, which, you know what? I'm all for it. This is so 80s.
I wish there was more Madame Zola, though.
She is sassy. She not sassy as in, like, fun sassy, but, like, she's like a cranky middle-aged woman that's trying to watch TV.
It's like it's her day off and two children came in and quizzed her about werewolves.
Well, sure. But she goes, or they go in, and Zola is a fan of his mom's books, we find out.
Alien Shapeshifters!
Yep, Alien Shape Changers. And so then she gets really friendly all of a sudden. She's like, well, I'll help you because I like your mom's books. And that's where we get introduced to Madame Zola. She doesn't serve a purpose.
She has a teeny purpose towards the end of the film. Other than that, basically, it was just a landing pad as they escaped Stanley. Right. And also, her cat hisses at him, at Walter.
Oh, that's right. And she's like, my cat's never hissed at anybody. And this is also when I was making note of Cindy's look, because it is just, she's got, can we describe it? It's like round glasses, like detective
round
glasses.
Round 80s, like tortoiseshell glasses.
Yeah, but she's got the like Sherlock Holmes look with like the little round cap and the cloak and stuff like that. And so it's just so funny. But I do think you described it best as miniature Angela Lansbury. So we're back home, and boy, the second he walks in, his dad wastes zero time making another werewolf pun.
Yes.
He immediately looks at him and sees that he's like distressed, and he goes, oof, it's a dog's life, huh?
Yes. And also the parents talk about, they kind of mentioned it at breakfast, and then and again are talking about robberies around town. And for some reason, Weirdo Walter gets it in his head that his parents are accusing him or think he is in some way related to the robberies.
Yeah, this is interesting. We'll see why this is important. But at first, I was like, why the hell are they talking about robberies right now?
Well, more than that is like, what leaps did Weird Walter make to think his parents are accusing him? That just made no sense as far as the storyline goes. And then he becomes like sure that the sheriff is gathering a posse. And the only reason I mention this is because he, under his breath, when his dad starts talking about him, he whispers, posse.
You know know what, though? In his defense, I remember being a kid, and if I would even kind of break the law, in my brain, it was like a wanted ad was being printed at that very moment and was going to be plastered all over the city for my head, you know, like a bounty on my head because I stuck gum under the table or
what?
Something like
you
that.
You did that?
Oh, I was leaving out juicy details.
You're such a rule follower now, though.
Okay. Well, what we find out is the next scene is probably one of my favorites in the whole entire movie. Cindy is hamming it up doing a seance over him. And she's got the, like, headdress on and she's chanting.
Oh.
Dude, it's so funny.
Yeah, she's dressed like... headscarf, like she's doing a seance above his noggin.
I just love this whole film just charmed me so much.
I feel like they could have really spread it out.
They could
I would
have,
like to know more about Cindy.
Cindy was definitely the standout of this whole thing. But
what's Cindy up to now?
Nada. I think she only did two things.
What?
And that was it. So they go back to the theater, and this is where we meet Sheriff Wittenberger. Well, that's a really unnecessary last name. But this is actually an actor named Ralph Strait. I recognized him, and I was like, why do I know
him? The sheriff?
Yeah. And I could recognize him. I didn't know why. And I looked up his credits. And he's been in a bunch of stuff, but two of the ones that stood out right away were Beastmaster and Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Weird. Was he a sheriff in... Well, I guess Beastmaster.
I don't know. I'd have to watch it again. But I recognized his face.
Interesting.
And then there's some talk about the... robberies and stuff like that, and some drama, but then this is when we get the first to be continued ...
Well, the sheriff comes in and Stanley is grinning in the background because as the sheriff comes in, he's like, we received a tip that somehow the movie theater is involved in the burglaries that are happening, and then he's just walks behind the counter and starts digging around the popcorn and finds a diamond necklace that was apparently
stolen. The popcorn. It was totally like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Yes, and then so Stanley's in the background like smiling like a smirky jerk. And
now that's a smirky jerk.
And then it's like the end as the sheriff says, "I'll be watching you." Like there's not enough evidence for anything, so he's just going to watch them. I don't know. I was troubled by
this. So this is interesting when it does the to be continued and then it fades to black. It was interesting because I was thinking about TV shows and how, you know, something that we've watched a quabillion times is Twin Peaks, and they do the fades in, during the episodes for commercial breaks. And I've never really thought about it. I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's just when they would have gone to commercial. And I don't give it much thought. But with this one in particular, because I knew it was an ABC special, every time it faded, I was really bummed we didn't get to watch the like original 80s
commercials.
Before we came back.
That would have been fun.
Well, and it's fun because it made me think about there's this kind of subculture in the VHS community that does TV movie bootlegs that keep all the commercials in it. And they trade them to each other because people love watching TV movies with the original commercials in them.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And I thought, man, I bet you I would enjoy this even more if I got to stop and actually have the original commercial breaks.
Oh, yeah.
But we get the fade to black, and then we pick up on the second week's, you know, the second half of the movie.
Honestly, the first half of the second half is just telling us what happened in the first half.
Yeah, there is a pretty long recap. Yeah, but we get the synopsis, and then they're outside waiting. And he changes back.
Outside of the theater.
Yeah, and he changes and he's like in a bush.
Well, yeah. Again. Yeah, so he's transforming because he's so upset about the accusations that the theater is somehow involved in the burglaries.
But he's just changing randomly and now he's trying to change back. And Cindy's really pressuring him and like, come on already. We've got places to be.
She's annoyed.
Then he gives a great line when he comes out of the bush and like... dusts himself off. He's really irritated. And keep in mind, this is a 13-year-old. And he goes, man, can't a guy turn into a werewolf in private anymore?
and Cindy goes, hey, wolf, keep your fur on. In her little matter-of-fact, saucy voice.
Yep. I can tell. I bet our listeners after all this are like, dude, We've got to hunt down a copy of this.
You guys do. It's a darling little weird film.
It is something. And we go back to his room. We get more of his room and we find out not only the Bela Lugosi, but he's got cutouts of King Kong and Frankenstein. Yeah.
And his mom comes in and she's like, do you want to talk? Really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And he shuts her down because he thinks she's trying to get him to talk about the burglaries.
Right. Like to confess to the crimes.
And so she leaves and then he lays in bed. And this is the most awesome sequence of him. His arms, like, think of an 80s bed. Think of a boy on his back with his hands behind his head. And he's just laying there looking at the ceiling. And he's transforming in these layered shots. So it's like a shot of his normal face and then a layer over that, like fading in as they got him up, did his makeup for like 5% of the transformation again and again. So it's like not so, perfectly in place.
So funny. This is
camera angle kind of changes, but slowly man. He transforms after, over however many shots it took them to get from boy laying with his arms behind his head to werewolf boy.
It was such a funny transformation scene. Because I feel like, okay, with anybody who watches a werewolf movie, that's the moment everybody's waiting for is
the
to, like,
transformation.
You could have an amazing film, but if it's crappy transformation, it just ruined the film. If it's a good transformation in a crappy movie, everybody's like, I love that movie. And so I was so excited to see the actual transformation, because up until this point, keep in mind, it is actually things like one moment he's not a werewolf and the next he is. This was the first time we got the transition. And like you just said, it feels like the kind of movies I made when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, you know, it'd be cool. A transformation. And then I would put a little bit of hair on my face and then we'd pause the video camera, run, do some makeup, try and be like, remember where your arms were, and then do a little bit more. Yep. And that's how this transformation unfolds.
100%.
You know what I thought to myself as this was happening and I was laughing out loud?
Yes, we all were.
Somehow this transformation is still better than some of the Howling sequels. Like, it's true. Still think that this was a better film, but
sometimes you just don't have to try so hard.
That's right.
So once he's turned into a werewolf, this is by far my favorite sequence of the movie. First, he plays with his hair. And then he looks out, notice that it's a full moon, and he takes off. Boy, does he take off. He does flips. It's like him in front of a white fence doing flips backwards over and over again, forwards, backwards. He jumps. He does splits jumps where he jumps and does side, like, left to right splits in the air and taps his toes with his fingers, but he's got werewolf makeup on.
I tell you, we cannot do this justice. And I feel like I'm not going to find a clip of this on the internet.
No.
I'm going to have to put it in and record it on my phone to put it on to our Instagram, because this is the moment. If ever there was like a cult moment of this film, it is. This should get more recognition than it has ever gotten, because
it's so good.
Saying flips and touching his toes is not quite
jump splits. Yeah,
this is a full gymnastics routine. Like,
but just backwards and forwards.
No, he does like half flips and everything
else.
It's
in front of this one fence.
But you can tell there's like a mini trampoline somewhere too that he's like running and doing these flips. It's like the end routine when somebody runs and then does like a stance at the end.
Yeah, at the end he sticks it and bows.
It was definitely the best scene in the entire movie. Why also did the full moon even matter? Because
I think that's when he got his jumpy powers.
Okay, so he's getting more and more powers. Because I just wrote down that he was kind of like discovering his powers. And the music, let me tell you about the music during this scene.
How do you even describe it?
Well, it starts off as like a Scooby-Doo episode. Like a 70s Scooby-Doo episode. Like a ba-doomt, doo-doomt, doo-doomt. And then it gets into like a bow-wow-wow Seinfeld episode. it, like within the same song, that's what I wrote, Scooby-Doo to Seinfeld for the music.
I like it.
Made no sense whatsoever, but I loved every moment of it.
And then we follow this up with him just crawling at a house that is, or at a shed that I thought initially was being burgled, but instead they're offloading burglary stuff. And this is where, spoiler, Stanley is revealed to be the burglar who has been doing all of the robberies.
And Walt is spying on him and seeing it all.
Walter's spying, and then his friend drops a bag and out pours the pirate booty. And here's what comes out of this bag. It is golden coins and necklaces, pearls, and a goblet, golden goblet that they've stolen. Like, they actually robbed, you know.
One-Eyed Willy from Goonies. Yes. I know. This is exactly what I thought, too.
So ridiculous.
It is so dumb.
And so Walter's like, what? They're the robbers? And it cuts to the next day, and Cindy and Walter are spying, because he instantly is like, Cindy, guess what? I know who the
Yeah, well,
is.
They're at a town parade.
Yes.
First off, there's like a parade scene, which I always love parade scenes in the 80s.
Totally unnecessary, but yes.
And we find out that Walt has some sweet bike moves, too. He can really ride that bike.
Yeah, so the wolf in him.
I was really fingers crossed that there would be a scene of him getting like a getaway as a wolf on the bike. But we didn't get that, unfortunately.
That would have been rad.
So, yeah, then Walt goes into the theater and busts Billy, who is, or not Billy,
Stanley. Yes, they're planting evidence.
Yeah, he's setting up the theater owner with stuff that he robbed to take the fall for him. And Walt decides to trap him in the back room of the theater to call the cops. And his idea?
He's locking it. Walter locks Stanley into the back room of the theater while Cindy is running to the sheriff.
Yeah, can I describe what the word lock means in his mind? He shuts a door that does not have a lock on it, and then to keep him in there, finds a big flat sign and just rests it up against it, not underneath the door handle or anything like that. Which means that Stanley could literally just push the door open.
Gently moved the door.
But he calls the sheriff. Sheriff doesn't believe him, but the theater owner does, and runs in, and surprise, Stanley got out of that trap.
Although, weirdly, he escaped out the window instead of just opening the door.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Why? He's like, I'm done for sure.
I gotta climb out this window.
Run out the window.
So, no matter how you slice it, Walter sucks at trapping burglars. And so, yeah, Cindy returns, and the sheriff wouldn't believe her. So Stanley and his buddy have fled the scene, and they went back to the shed to get rid of the evidence. But the owner of the, or I don't know if he's the owner or if he's a worker at the theater, he goes because
he's the manager.
He's an adult, and he goes to get the sheriff since the sheriff won't listen to Cindy. And then Cindy and Walter go to confront Stanley. I guess enough is enough.
Oh, yeah.
Walter's had his fill of his bully. So they go there, and then Walter whispers to himself, change, 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 which sad. It's so sad to think of a 13-year-old boy shouting change at himself.
It's so symbolic.
Yes.
So he does change, but it's not until the bullies see him and they're like, oh, we're gonna, you know, pound you. There's some comment. Did you write down the quote about being beat into a mush and I'd be more attractive as mush?
No, but yeah, I remember that. It was so weird.
It was weird.
But why? Who wrote that?
I don't know. Oh, I do know. Pauly Shore's dad. And but he gets out and they're gonna beat him to a mush. And then he actually changes into a werewolf in front of them.
Yep.
Well, in front of the main guy. And he's like screams and he's like, oh, I wasn't going to do anything. Yeah. I was just playing around.
Let me go, man.
Yeah. And then Walt as the werewolf does this big leap bound onto Stanley and pins him down and is like, I mean, that's seriously the sounds he's making.
Yep. This little boy cannot pretend to be a werewolf.
Has this great scene where as he's like flying through the air to tackle Stanley, she goes, Walt.
She's so proud of
him. And she's like staring in like awe.
She's with her, giving like, him like hard eyes.
Yeah, with her weird detective weird costume on.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the sheriff comes, and the bully is like, he's a werewolf. And the sheriff's like, oh, if, bad enough, my nephew's a thief, but he's a liar, too. And
yes, because Walt has all of a sudden learned he can control his werewolfiness. Yes.
And then, so then we wrap up, the bully got taken away, and Walt's now got to tell his parents something. But
well,
they,
he's feeling confident after.
Yeah, he's like, I got to do this.
I beat the burglary, and so now my parents won't suspect I'm the robber. I got to confide in them.
Yeah, he's like, look, they're not going to think I robbed them, so I should tell them I'm a werewolf.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah.
And they good decide, no, we need to tell you something. And then he finds out that he has inherited
a genetic gift.
Trait that runs in the family, that he's a werewolf. And then we get a really, really wonderful end scene.
Ooh.
Where hairy hands reach around his shoulders and he's like, Mom? And then he looks over at his dad and he's like, Dad too? And he's like, no, but I know about it. And then he goes, but you guys, I would never. And she goes, what, because we're so conservative? And then she said, there's three of us in the family. And he goes, three? And then she said, yes, your grandpa. And then he says, Gramps a werewolf or whatever? And then he goes, but he doesn't have any teeth. What does he have? Fang dentures?
Oh.
And that's where I really wish, in a classic ABC made-for-TV movie, Grandpa would have come in to, like, a laugh track as a werewolf and been like, who's talking about my dentures? But we didn't get that scene, unfortunately.
No. And then we do get the scene of his mom teaching him how to wiggle his wolf ears.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a weirdly long scene of them both, like, smiling at each other and wiggling their ears.
Yes. And that
And the dad also hugs her from behind while she wiggles her ears.
That's the movie. Yep. You know what? I loved every minute of this movie.
It was what it was. It was delightful.
It was so fun.
It was being an 8-year-old and watching it
again. I would watch it again in a second. And if I was a kid and had I'd known about this, mm-hmm. I would have watched it a lot.
Over and over,
yeah,
for sure.
I would have loved this as a kid. And so I enjoyed it a lot. I think it was fun for a Halloween episode.
Oh, yeah.
But because it was only a 50-minute episode, we knew this would be short, so we decided to do a little bonus for our listeners. And as a Halloween extra, we've decided to put together 5 werewolf movies, or movies featuring werewolves,
mm-hmm.
as recommendations for our listeners for the Halloween season.
Yes, and they're not necessarily all from the 80s. They're just wolf movies.
Mine are all from the 80s.
Oh, well, whatever. King of you.
I didn't rank them, though. I mean, I guess I could real quick.
I just put... No, I wouldn't. Mine would change every day. It's like which way the wind blows.
All right.
Well, which way the wolf howls, Eric.
That's right. Well, it's about to get hairy.
Oh.
But before we start, let's get a little howling theme. Okay. Well, that turned out really awesome.
Yeah, I love that you played Shakira She-Wolf.
You wish. So, how about...
This isn't the first time we've referenced
it's
this.
Not at all. I actually wrote down, originally, She-Wolf by Shakira and then thought, am I allowed to do that as my recommendation?
No, because that would have been 1 through 5 for me.
Also, going back to the very beginning of the episode, I also wanted to write down the... Werewolf Bar Mitzvah from 30 Rock.
Spooky, scary.
So
I feel like we might have, because we haven't actually discussed our lists with each other since we made them. And I'm wondering, as I was doing it, I was wondering this also, how many are going to be the same?
Let's see. Okay, well, how about you give me one?
Okay, so the first on my list was Teen Wolf.
Oh, good one. Yeah, I didn't go with Teen Wolf.
What?
Well, I mean, I had a bunch of other ones.
What?
Yeah, okay. That's a classic. So if you haven't seen Teen Wolf, then I can't help you.
That's like, Okay, so 2 Minute Werewolf grew up and became a full-length feature movie that is only similar in that it has a teenager that's a werewolf. Then it's Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Watch it.
I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Live
it's
it,
all
love
in the
it,
title.
Wolf it.
Starring Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
And there's a Teen Wolf part two.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's pretty good, too.
Jerry O'Connell?
No, it's, what's his face from...
Oh, it's with Jason Bateman.
That's right. It is Jason Bateman. Okay, so you did Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Give me one off of yours.
Mine, this is one I didn't really want to put on, but I felt like I had to because I couldn't just do only obscure stuff. The Howling, part one.
Mm.
Now, I really thought I was going to love a lot of the sequels. They're very hit and miss. Just so that you're clear... Listeners, we did an episode that we never aired of The Howling Part 4.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll air it someday, but that movie was so damn boring.
It was.
We thought it was going to be like a fun, cheesy, campy movie that
we never aired that?
No.
Okay.
We just were like, eh. Then the next day, I actually traded it off to get a different VHS
get
tape.
Out
I
of
was
this
like,
house.
I don't need to own this movie anymore. It's so bad. So I did The Howling from 1981. That's a
good.
Classic, though.
Yeah.
It's got some, it's a little slow at times, but I do think overall you should watch it.
I did the very first werewolf movie that I ever remember seeing, which was An American Werewolf in London.
I definitely have that. That's a John Landis film, 1981. That is. Probably one of the greatest werewolf movies ever made.
Yeah, you can't go on a list without it.
Horror comedy, but it's just so, it's perfectly done. I mean, I would definitely defend that film. It's, yeah, I have that on my list too. That if I was to do like an actual 1 through 5, that would have to be pretty close to the top because it's not being funny about it. It's just saying this is like a really good movie.
It's one of the few genres of, or like, one of the few films that I got to introduce you to. You hadn't seen it when we got together, and I felt the great pride in introducing you into that.
Yeah, it's so good. Out of curiosity, I don't know if I've ever asked you, do you even like werewolf movies?
Generally, no. Although I like everyone on my list.
Yeah.
So that it's when you see it done well, you're like, oh, okay, this is what everybody was trying and failing at. It's tricky.
I feel like they're so rigid with their formulas that I'm like, I need something that's a bit more creative. Otherwise, I'm bored by it. And I feel like werewolf films are really hard to be innovative with.
Also, I really like dogs.
Yeah.
So I'm not scared of them. So when they try to make them scary, I'm just like, well...
And
but
there's
it's
some
a dog.
And in defense of the werewolf genre, there are some really creative ones, like Dog Soldiers is a really classic one. But I didn't put it on my list because that's like a really cool cult classic, but maybe not one that I have like a special connection to. But yeah, my next one was also American Werewolf in London.
Okay, so then down the list, I have, this is newer, Wolf Cop.
Oh, I was going to put Wolf Cop too. Yeah, I just left it off because I was sticking with 80s. But
it's a horror comedy.
Yeah,
it's so stupid,
yeah.
But you should watch it.
It's really great.
You won't regret it because it's delightfully terrible.
All right. Well, my next one isn't exclusively a werewolf film, but it features a very prominent werewolf. And I had to put it in there because it was directed by Fred Decker, who did Night of the Creeps, but Monster Squad.
Oh, yeah.
So 1987, like, you have to put that in there.
Yeah,
it's
so good.
Great, yeah. So that was my next one.
Okay, I don't know if you remember watching this. We've only watched it once, but I kept thinking of it. I couldn't remember the name. In the Company of Wolves.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So good.
Yeah.
So visually stunning.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a long time, and I don't own it, so I think I've even seen it out there, and I just passed by it. I'll grab it next time
I see
it.
Yeah, it's really good. I recommend it.
It's
one that sticks with you.
Okay, it's a rewatch for me. I need to revisit it,
yeah.
Because I've only seen it once.
What about you? What's next?
My next one's a real deep cut. You'll get it, but I don't know if many other people will.
Okay.
One of my personal favorites, 1984, Hard Rock Zombies.
Okay.
It features an aging Hitler,
mm-hmm.
and his wife, Eva Braun, is a werewolf.
Yep. Okay. I mean, I don't think you need to explain any
that's
more.
Another.
That's... exactly why it's on your list.
Yep. Okay. What's your... Okay. Oh, this is your final one?
Yeah, my final one's actually a little more modern. It's Le Pacte des Loups.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Yeah, yeah, it's the French one.
Pretty cool.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It was actually, like, scary. And I can't say that I'm... I mean, it's not, like, really scary. I don't feel very scared by movies often, but it's got a creepier feel to it. It's also set during the French Revolution, so it's historical. Mm-hmm. And I really loved it a lot. It's one of the few that I've watched several times.
I don't know if I've seen it several times, maybe twice, but I remember it being very visually stunning.
Yeah.
And it has Monica Bellucci's in it, right?
Yeah, as well as, I don't know if they're married anymore, that Vincent Cassel.
Yeah, I think they're both in it. Yeah, that was a good one. That was kind of a good time for French cinema, but...
Yeah.
I'd have to revisit that, too, and see if it holds up or not.
I think it does.
It's been a long time. My last one on the list, and, I mean, how could I not go with this, is, of course, 1984 Alice Cooper Monster Dog.
Of course.
And I have to say it because that was episode 6 of Laser Graves.
Lord of the Dogs.
Fun fact, what? Our second highest downloaded episode...
Really?
...is Monster Dog.
Why wouldn't it be? It's such a good movie. Yeah,
true. So if you haven't listened to that episode and you like werewolves and you like Alice Cooper...
Even if you don't.
And you like bad Italian cinema, go back and revisit our episode 6 of Monster Dog. But, well, there you go. There's the Laser Graves top 5. I guess it would be 10 recommendations for the Halloween season of werewolf movies.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen them, great. If you haven't, go check them out. If you have some that you'd like to chime in on, feel free to leave some comments under our Instagram. But that was fun. We should do that again next week one more time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it. That's the adventures of a 2-minute werewolf. I'm just now realizing what we just did.
Grown adults.
Yep, that's what we did. Okay, well, if you like what you heard, rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to everybody who has been leaving ratings. That's been very helpful.
Thank you.
And tell a friend if you like what we're doing also. Spread the word. That always helps. You can follow us on Instagram at Laser Graves. You can listen to us on Spotify, Podbean, iTunes, kind of all over. Yeah. And then if you want to follow us on our personal sites on Instagram, I'm at Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And that is our werewolf episode for the week. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Ow. Oh.